of Sutter Grace Church would like to invite you to listen to a sermon by our pastor, Rick Warden. We currently meet at the Yuba County Library, located at 303 2nd Street in downtown Marysville, California, on the corner of 2nd and C Street. Weekly services are held on Sunday at 11 a.m. at the library. For more information, visit our website at ysgracechurch.com. Now here's our pastor, Rick Warden.
I would like to bring a message to you today from the book of Hebrews. The book of Hebrews declares to us God's final message to man. This fact makes the book of Hebrews of ultimate importance. I want to therefore preach a series of sermons from this book in the Bible because this is God's message to be declared by His authority for His glory to sinners of every nation under heaven that they might be saved. To understand what the book of Hebrews is about, we have only to look at the beginning and the end of it. In the beginning of the book, God declares to us that He has spoken in these last days by His Son. In the end of the book, God tells us that in believing the gospel, we have come to Jesus Christ, the mediator of the new covenant. In the beginning and the end and throughout the book, God tells us that the covenant is a covenant made in Christ's blood. He says this covenant is an everlasting covenant in the blood of Christ, Hebrews 13, verse 20. Taken together, we can plainly see from the beginning to the end of Hebrews that the message of the book of Hebrews is the Son of God, the Lord Jesus Christ, appointed and anointed by God as the one mediator between God and men, and that this covenant God has made was established in the very blood of His own eternal Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. I have therefore entitled this series of messages, The Mediator of the New Covenant, because this is what the book of Hebrews is all about. It is a book about the mediator of the new covenant, a covenant made by God before time, a covenant made in the blood of Christ. In fact, this is the message of the entire Bible. The Bible is God-breathed, 2 Timothy 3:16. Its message is about God's own dear Son. It is about how God determined from eternity to make known His great name throughout time and eternity by the eternal achievements of His Son in His death to save His people from their sins. God made the everlasting covenant with His Son and with His chosen people. In that covenant, God chose and gave a people to His Son to be His own people. They were chosen by God the Father before time began. They were predestinated by God the Father to be His sons in eternal adoption. Ephesians 1, verse 4 through 6. They were predestinated to be God's sons by the redeeming blood of Christ. Galatians 4, verses 1 through 6. And they were predestinated to be the sons of God by spiritual birth into His kingdom. James 1, 18 and 1 Peter 1, 23. God committed His chosen people into the hand of His Son, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. God made Christ the head in His everlasting covenant. All God required of His people, He forever looked to His Son to fulfill. And all blessings God gave to His Son, He also gave to those named in His covenant of grace. Every condition in this covenant was laid upon Christ. And Christ fulfilled all conditions in that covenant when He offered Himself to God for the sins of His people. By that one offering of Himself to God for the sins of God's elect, Christ forever made God's people holy to God. He perfected them forever at that time on the cross, having fulfilled God's law in consummate perfection as their covenant head, their covenant representative, their surety, who did all that He did in their place and in their name to answer all God required on their behalf. Christ's one offering for His people accomplished all of the work required to save them from sin and the wrath of God, from Satan and the curse of God's law, from this present evil world, and from death and hell. Christ's one offering made them holy and presented them to God as blameless, perfectly righteous in His own obedience, which was credited by God to them and counted as theirs. All was accomplished by the Lord Jesus Christ in His death. On one day, Jesus Christ forever removed all of the sins of His people before God. He cleansed them from their sins before the Lord by His sin-atoning blood in His substitutionary death. In so doing, He made them holy and perfect because all that Christ did as the covenant head, He did in answer to God for his people against every accusation and in fulfillment of every demand of God's law, to obtain every promised blessing of salvation and eternal life. He did all in the name of his people, those God the Father gave him before time began in the covenant of grace. In 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 9, the Apostle Paul told Timothy that God the Father has saved us and called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was given us in Christ Jesus before the world began. Now, all that I have said by way of summary here is powerfully developed in great detail in the book of Hebrews. It is written with unparalleled explanation of all of the Old Testament Scripture in concise and elegant language, unsurpassed in all the Word of God. The book of Hebrews stands out in a special way because it explains the entire Old Testament in a compact form, with the most impressive organization and elegance. Every time I read it, I am astounded that God has given this great treasure to us. It makes me long to be found only in Christ, not having mine own righteousness, but his alone, saved by his redeeming blood, having fulfilled God's holy law by his obedience, saved according to God's holiness, to his great glory alone, and given faith by God to receive his word concerning Christ as the very truth of the way things are between my soul and God. The message of Hebrews is not meant merely for academic study. It is meant for sinners. It teaches sinners about Christ. The book of Hebrews is the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. It is the gospel of Christ explained as the fulfillment of the Old Testament. No wonder our hearts burn within us when we are given grace from God to read this book as sinners with eyes of faith to see Christ as all of our salvation from Old Testament Scripture. To see that all God said and required before is now fulfilled in Christ gives us the greatest confidence that it is God who has spoken here. It gives us great confidence and full assurance of faith to know that by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, God has always accepted his people as he accepts his Son. God's everlasting covenant of grace is the gospel, and the message of Hebrews is therefore of utmost importance. It is of utmost importance because, first, it is God's message to men about his only begotten Son and his glorious achievements for sinners. And it is of utmost importance because it is God's final message to men in the history of this world. It is also of utmost importance because it is the message of eternal salvation. And it is the message about the shed blood of the Son of God, whose blood made full remission for the sins of God's people, obtained their eternal redemption, made them holy to God, and perfected them forever to give them eternal blessings which were purchased by his own blood. Hebrews is of utmost importance because it reveals God's glory, and because it is the message of salvation which, if we neglect in indifference and in the pride of our own unbelief, we will be eternally lost. We must hold fast God's glad tidings of Christ's work in salvation. We must continue believing Christ as our complete and only answer to God. We must not fail in this faith, and yet faith itself is God's gift. He alone gives it, and he alone sustains it. Hebrews 12:2 says, Jesus Christ is the author and finisher of our faith. There is no more important message found in all the Bible that is found in the book of Hebrews. Now, Hebrews was written to those people who were named Hebrews because they were descendants of Abraham's great ancestor, Eber. Hebrews are Jews. When God speaks in the Bible of either Jews or Hebrews, he speaks of that physical nation of the Jews. But not of that physical nation only, but of that physical nation as a picture of the spiritual nation that is called the Bride of Christ, the Church of the Living God, the elect of God, those redeemed by the precious blood of the Lamb of God, and given the Spirit of God to live by faith upon Christ and him crucified, to the glory of God's great grace. The Apostle Peter said this about those who were called spiritual Hebrews in the Bible, and this is true of every believer in Christ. In 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 9, Peter said, "You are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, an holy nation, a peculiar people, that you should show forth the praises of him who hath called you out of darkness into his marvelous light." Thus, the book of Hebrews, though it was written to those who were the physical children of Abraham, those who grew up under the law of Moses, and all the sacrifices and ceremonies of the Old Testament, it was actually written to all those who were given by God the Father to Christ in His everlasting covenant of grace. See Ephesians chapter 1, verse 4, and John 17, verse 2. These are the chosen generation, the holy nation, because they are set apart by God's choice from eternity, redeemed by Christ's blood at the cross, and sanctified by spiritual birth into God's kingdom by the Spirit of God to believe Christ crucified with God-given faith. They are Hebrews in a spiritual sense, whether they be Jews or Gentiles in a physical sense. The spiritual sense is the only true sense in which any person may be called a Jew. Romans 2:28 says, "He is not a Jew, which is one outwardly, neither is that circumcision, which is outward in the flesh, but he is a Jew, which is one inwardly. And circumcision is of the heart, in the spirit, not in the letter." It doesn't matter who our physical parents are. It doesn't matter if we can trace our ancestry to Abraham or to any other man. Our physical parents contribute nothing to our spiritual birth. Spiritual birth is by the sovereign Spirit of God alone. Only those born of God are God's sons. Entrance into God's kingdom is by the blood of Christ, and by the birth God gives to us through His Spirit, which comes to us because of Christ's redeeming blood. The Apostle John said, "Our spiritual birth is not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God." John chapter 1, verse 13. God gives His Spirit to those whose sins are washed from them, and who are made holy by the blood of Christ. God ordained all of these to eternal life. He gives His Spirit to them, that they might live in believing Christ and know God as their Father and Christ as their great God and Savior. Therefore, the book of Hebrews was written to God's people from every nation under heaven. God's people believe Christ. This is the great point of distinction that God makes in our lives. Like Abel, they come to God looking to Christ to be accepted by God for His sake alone. Those who are not God's people are distinguished because they do not come to God by Christ alone. Instead, they come by their own works and think to boast in their works before God and men. They trust themselves. They trust something about what they do. Like Cain, they add to God's work with their own work and present their work to be accepted by God. By their free will, by their decision, by their claiming to accept Jesus, they add to what Christ did. Their response to God becomes the deciding factor on which they depend for God's acceptance and salvation. All who do not believe Christ and come to God to be accepted by Him for Christ's sake alone actually reject the Son of God and the message of the book of Hebrews. In this book, God says all such will receive the just reward of their sins. See chapter 10, verses 26 through 29. But all who come to God looking to Christ alone will receive the just reward of Christ's obedience because they have been given the grace of life and faith by God the Holy Spirit. Therefore, their believing is the evidence that they are born of God. All who are born of God were born because Christ died for them. They have been redeemed by His precious blood, Galatians 4, verses 4 through 6. And all who were redeemed by Christ and born of His Spirit were given to Christ by God the Father in the everlasting covenant of grace. If you read the Gospel of John, chapters 10 and 17, you will see clearly that there is no uncertainty in the salvation of God's people. All will be saved for whom Christ died. Not one of His sheep will perish for whom He laid down His life. He must bring all of them. He will have them. He will call them and they will hear His voice. They shall follow Him. He will lose none of them. No one is able to pluck them out of His hand, and no one is able to pluck them out of His Father's hand, to whom the sheep belong equally, and who is stronger than all. See John chapter 10, verse 27 through 29. Now, what I have said here by introduction is the message of the book of Hebrews. That message, again, is Christ, the mediator of the everlasting covenant of God's grace, by whose blood that covenant is fulfilled and made certain to all for whom He died and obtained eternal redemption. Hebrews chapter 9, verse 12. Hebrews was written to all who are in that covenant. They are called Hebrews in a spiritual sense because they are in Christ as their covenant head by God's act of eternal election. With this introduction, let us now begin with the first verse of the first chapter of the book of Hebrews. Hebrews chapter 1 verse 1 says, God, who at sundry times and in divers manners spake in times past unto the fathers by the prophets, hath in these last days spoken unto us by his Son. The first thing we learn here is that the God who spoke in the Old Testament is the God who speaks in the New Testament. We also learn that the message of the Old Testament is the message of the New Testament. But that message is concealed in the Old Testament in laws and sacrifices until Christ came. As someone once said, the New Testament is in the Old Testament concealed, and the Old Testament is in the New Testament revealed. Therefore, the same God who spoke in times past now speaks. The 19th chapter of the book of Revelation makes this truth very pointedly. In Revelation 19:10, it says, the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. In other words, the message of Scripture has been Christ crucified from the beginning. He is the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world, Revelation 13, verse 8. But that message was not as clearly revealed in the Old Testament as it is now revealed in the New. Yet, from the beginning of time, all those God saved were given to believe Christ. God promised Adam and Eve that Jesus would be the seed of the woman who would destroy the works of the devil, Genesis 3, verse 15. We know that Old Testament saints believe Christ because there is only one name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved, Acts chapter 4, verse 10-12. None are saved who do not come to God by Christ's precious blood. Adam and Eve were clothed in the skins of the animal God sacrificed for their covering, Genesis 3, verse 21. Those skins testified of Christ, the Lamb of God, slain to cover our sins by His righteousness. And Abel believed Christ. That is why he brought a lamb to God. He believed God's testimony of His Son, that in the sacrifice of God's substitute, God justifies ungodly sinners. And in the days of Enos, the son of Seth, men began to call upon the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, Genesis 4, verse 26. Because all who call in faith on the Lord, call on the Lord in Jesus Christ, who is Lord of all and God over all. See Joel chapter 2, verse 32. Then, after the flood, Noah offered to the Lord of every clean beast. Later, Abraham told his son Isaac, in Genesis 22, verse 8, my son, God will provide himself the lamb for the burnt offering. Therefore, throughout the Old Testament, the priests offered gifts and sacrifices for sin. And all of these sacrifices were God's testimony of the sacrifice of Christ, the Lamb of God. Christ was ordained as the Lamb of God before the foundation of the world, 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 20, and Revelation 13, 8. His blood was shed, and his people were justified by his blood in the purpose of God from eternity before time began. And that is why in Romans 8:33 it says, who can lay anything to the charge of God's elect? Because as long as they have been God's elect, no one could lay charge to them. Christ crucified is therefore the testimony of all of Scripture. He is the life-giving message, the spirit of prophecy. Therefore, in the days of the Old Testament, God spoke by the prophets, and His message was Christ and what Christ would do to save His people and glorify God. But in these last days, God has spoken to us also. Only this time, He has spoken to us by His Son. The message is the same, but now that message is fulfilled, and God has sent His Son, who Himself has told us the message from heaven. The message is about Him. It is about Christ, that He is the eternal Son of God and the eternally ordained Son of Man, eternally ordained to shed His precious blood to fulfill God's covenant of grace to save His people from their sins, those people who are Hebrews by God's choice and by Christ's redeeming blood and by the sanctifying work of the Spirit of God who gives us life from the dead to believe and know the Son of God. That was the message of the Old Testament, and that is the message of the New Testament. As one preacher put it, The Bible is a hymn book. It's about Him, the Lord Jesus Christ. In these last days, God has spoken to us by His Son. God's message is always authoritative. But the authority of the message is proportional to the dignity and the authority of the messenger. The word the prophet spoke was authoritative because God sent them and they spoke God's word. But when Christ speaks, it is God Himself speaking. In these last days, the Son of God has come in human nature and He has spoken to us. He has spoken God's message, and the message is about Himself. It is about what God His Father gave Him to do. It is about what He actually accomplished by Himself, by all that He did. The one who speaks to us in these last days is the Lord from heaven. Let me read what the Apostle John wrote of Christ in the Gospel of John, chapter 3. He that cometh from above is above all. He that is of the earth is earthly, and speaketh of the earth. He that cometh from heaven is above all. And what he has seen and heard, that he testifieth, and no man receiveth his testimony. He that hath received his testimony has set to his seal that God is true. For he whom God has sent speaketh the words of God. For God giveth not the Spirit by measure unto him. The Father loveth the Son, and hath given all things into his hand. He that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life. And he that believeth not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth on him. These words from John chapter 3 repeat what God has said in Hebrews chapter 1 verses 1 through 2. Christ is from heaven. He is therefore above all. His word is therefore of ultimate authority. He speaks God's words. He was sent by God the Father. His words are therefore true and authoritative by a double witness. He speaks God's words, and he who speaks is God Himself, God the Word. Yet no man receives His testimony. And yet, some do. Those who believe have been given grace from God. They hear Christ's words as the whole truth about the way things are between them and God, and they believe what God has said about their own sinful heart. They believe what God has said about His Son. The Father loves His Son. Whoever believes the Son has everlasting life. Whoever does not believe the Son of God shall never see life, but the wrath of God remains upon him. God must therefore grant us repentance to believe Christ to everlasting life, or we will perish. We will perish if we refuse to believe the Son of God. He has come in these last days. He has come in our human nature. He spoke the message of God because He was full of the Spirit of God. He is God, one with the Father and the Spirit. He is God's messenger of the new covenant. Malachi chapter 3, verse 1. He is God's messenger of the new covenant, and He is Himself the message that God speaks. His message is therefore of the highest authority. He cannot lie. His word cannot fail. To reject His message is to reject life and to love death. But notice, God has spoken by His Son in these last days. No one leaves this world without dying. All men die. God has appointed the day of every man's death. Hebrews chapter 9, verse 27 says, "It is appointed unto men once to die, but after this, the judgment." The day of our death is our last day on this earth. The next thing we know after death is judgment. We all live until our last day, but yet, there is also a last day for this earth and the universe. There is a day when God will judge the world in righteousness by Jesus Christ, that man whom He hath ordained to be judge of both the living and the dead. The last day of this earth is coming. Here in Hebrews chapter 1, verses 1 through 2, God has said that Christ has spoken to us in these last days. We are therefore living in the last days. God has said so right here in His Word. But what does this mean? It means there is no other Savior coming. God has no other message. If we refuse to hear and believe Christ, if we do not come to God as sinners, needing all and finding our all in Christ, then we forsake our own mercies. Jonah chapter 2, verse 8. We must learn this. Salvation is of the Lord. It is of God. It is not of man. It is in Christ alone. Only those in Christ will be saved. Christ alone accomplished this salvation. We contribute nothing. We must therefore give the more earnest heed to what the Son of God has said to us in these last days. He has spoken the gospel of His glorious eternal achievements for sinners. We must come to Him in faith as sinners, asking Him to save us from our sins and trusting Him alone to do so according to His promise. We must trust Him who has said that He obtained eternal redemption for His people by His redeeming blood on the cross. Before God destroyed the earth with water in the days of Noah, before Noah entered into the ark, the Lord Jesus Christ, by His Spirit, spoke through Noah to the souls then living. Those souls are now in hell, in the prison of hell. They are awaiting final arraignment before Christ on His throne of judgment. They refused to hear the Spirit of Christ when Noah preached to them of His righteousness. But God has sent a greater than Noah to us in these last days. God judged the world in Noah's day, but there is another judgment coming in these last days. That judgment will be the final judgment. There will be no second time in which God will save men, in which men will be allowed to flee to Christ. We must hear God's Son today. This is the message God has given to us of His Son. In 1 John chapter 5, we read, "If we receive the witness of men, the witness of God is greater, for this is the witness of God, which He hath testified of His Son. He that believeth on the Son of God hath the witness in himself. He that believeth not God hath made him a liar, because he believeth not the record that God gave of His Son. And this is the record that God hath given to us, eternal life, and this life is in His Son. He that hath the Son hath life, and he that hath not the Son of God hath not life. These things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life, and that you may believe on the name of the Son of God." 1 John 5, verses 9 through 13. The book of Hebrews is about Christ, the mediator of the new covenant in His blood. This is the most gloriously glad news in heaven and earth and for all eternity. Those who hear and believe Christ by this message are born of God. God made the difference between them and others. The difference God makes is seen in the cross. What do you think of Christ and Him crucified? Do you come to God by Him? In Hebrews chapter 10, God says, we are to come boldly to the throne of grace by the blood of Jesus. He says that the just shall live by faith. All who come to God, therefore, believing Christ's blood and righteousness as all of their righteousness before God, are righteous by the imputed righteousness of Jesus Christ. Though in themselves they are yet sinners, yet in Christ they are without blame, holy, perfect before God. The Son of God has come. These are the last days. Do you hear Him? Do you believe His word? Do you trust Him who sits on the throne of glory to save you to the uttermost by His almighty grace alone? Are you persuaded that you can be accepted by God only in the Lord Jesus Christ, your High Priest, your King, your Mediator, your Surety, your Advocate, your Covenant Head? God says all who rest from their own works and look to Christ's work alone, who come to God trusting His blood and righteousness, are holy brethren. They are made holy by the blood of Christ.
'Tis not that I did choose Thee, Lord, for Lord, that could not be.
You have just heard a sermon by our pastor, Rick Warda. You may contact us by email or by phone, or download a copy of this sermon by visiting our website at ysgracechurch.com.